This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Suzanne Kogut joins me live in studio. She's the director of the Charlottesville Albemarle SBCA. I got to be sure I pronounce Albemarle correctly because people are giving me a hard time. I do it in the Old English Albemarle. And they're saying, no, it should be Albemarle.
You're talking to a Yankee. I don't know. I'm just going to do what everyone else does.
I think most people do say the L like Albemarle.
I say Albemarle. That's funny. I don't know if that's right.
It sounds funny to me, though. Albemarle. It's Albemarle. I don't know. Anyway, I say it like I got marbles in my mouth. Suzanne, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm doing good.
How are all the critters?
They're doing good. Lots of them, but doing good.
And we're getting ready to have the big cat infusion, right? Every summer when it gets warmer, you see a lot more kittens.
A lot of kittens. 400 cats and kittens every month in the summertime. Crazy.
Coming in?
Coming in every
Holy
month.
Cow.
This could be like 20 a day sometimes.
Wow. That's amazing. And I should say, I'm a huge fan of the work you do. And of course, all of the critters at my house came from SBCAs. The dogs and the cats, especially. We've had tremendous success with the kitties from the SPCA here. I wanted to invite you in today to talk about the business of the SPCA and the business model that you've adopted and what some other folks, some other SPCAs, they're sort of the old school model. And I'm really interested to hear what the listeners think about this. So join this conversation at any time, 977-1070. There's sort of two different models here, right? Tell us first the model that's practiced here in our neighborhood.
The model that we practice is, you know, what I would consider to be a very progressive business model. We need to do everything we can. Number one, we have to be operating and being excellent at all times. We also have a model of we want to be coming up with solutions, not excuses. You know, early on, when I actually started in 2005, and every time I said, let's try to do something, everything's we can't because, it won't work because, we can't because, everyone could spend all day telling me what we couldn't do, but no one could really come up with something we could do. So, you know, for us, it's a little bit about everything. I mean, it's a bit about marketing. It's a bit about looking at your financials and making sure you're operating your business for financial sustainability. It's, if we have a challenge, then we have to look at that challenge and say, how do we overcome it? We don't sit there and go, oh, woe is me. We have a challenge. I guess we'll have to kill animals. No, I mean, and most of the time what we're doing is we're asking the community to step up to the plate and help us too. Because really, I mean, this community loves animals. And every time we've asked for help, they've helped us.
Yeah. And so the model that you brought at the core of this model that you brought when you came to town was a no-kill model. Explain that and explain how it's different from sort of the traditional SPCA.
Yeah, I'll start with the sort of the traditional SPCA. I think the traditional SPCA pound shelter, and I actually think over time it's developed into sort of a very negative term, you know, animal shelter or pound. But it's, you know, well, animals come in. And we sit around and we hope someone comes in and adopts them. And when they
don't. Or claims them if it's a stray.
Or claims them if it's a stray. And we don't do that much. We just sit around, clean up their, you know, mess and feed them every day. And when no one comes to claim them and we've got more coming in, then we just kill the discard the other ones. Like, it's no big deal. And
that's how it's done.
And that's it.
At most SPCAs, right?
It's still done at a lot of SPCAs like that. Now, I think there is a more progressive movement and people are changing. There's still people that aren't, you know, trains leaving the station and they're not on. And I think, you know, in those communities, it's time to tell them to get on the train, you know, or get off.
Yeah.
And, you know, animals shouldn't have to suffer because they're actually too lazy or... just too closed off to trying something new.
So what's the no-kill model? How does that work? How does what you do actually work? We're talking with Suzanne Kogut of the SPCA here in town, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070.
The new model is really, you know, everything that we do is what we can do and how we can help an animal. And we look at every animal individually, and we look at our challenges, and we overcome them. So on a daily basis, we have too many animals coming in. What do? We try to get more foster homes, just temporary foster homes. We're going to market, and we're going to do things, make our, you know, I actually think the SPCA is a fun place to go for the day. We try to go out of our way to make sure people enjoy coming in. We market our animals. When they have different behavior issues, we try to address those and help them overcome them. And then when we have too much of something, we actually try to we'll have a lot of black cats. You know, we'll try to market the black cats. I mean, black cats really are no different than any other cat. So why people are more attracted to one versus another, you know, we try to help those, and we give those cats, we may highlight those in some of our marketing a little bit more. So I think it's really just doing everything you can do and not really spending a lot of time and energy focused on what you can't do.
So unless an animal is irreparably sick or very, you know, immediately dangerous to itself or others, you're not going to kill the animal.
Right. And you know, and the term no kill has become so controversial. But, you know, what we mean by no kill is we don't mean no euthanasia. You know, if an animal is sick, just like any individual, we would euthanize that animal. If it's a public safety risk, we would euthanize that animal. But we save 90%. And actually, when you look at that across the country, and when I say 90%, I mean a community. A lot of people come up to me and say, oh, well, there's lots of no-kill organizations. You know, if you're in a community and you've got one no-kill and you've got one killing, you know, 90%, that's not really sort of a no-kill community. Our community is a no-kill community. And there, as far as how many of those there are in the nation, they're far and few between, unfortunately.
Suzanne Kogut is the director of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA right here in our community. The phone number is 977-1070. So my question is this. There are in Virginia SPCAs who haven't adopted this new model, who are really out there doing the old model, and they're killing 70, 80, 90% of the animals that come in, and yet they're not changing. Why is that not changing? And where is the state, the regulators coming in saying, wait a minute, there's a better way to do this?
Yeah, I have to say, the regulators don't see that as their mission. In many cases, some of the regulations are designed to actually make killing easier and justifying it. And that's really unfortunate. There are some, you know, local governments that want to do better, and there's some that really actually just don't care whether the animals are killed or not. So, you know, I'll give you, for instance, the Arlington government, a lot of their government officials came down and said, well, why the heck is Charlottesville doing so much better than us? They have more resources than we do.
From Arlington.
Yeah. They have less animals than we do, and they have a bigger human population to adopt the small amount of animals that they have. And so they came down to us and said, what are you guys doing that we're not doing? And teach us, because we want to do it. On the flip side, there's other places they could care less, and, you know, oh well, let's just go ahead and kill the animals. I've got too much on my plate, and it's okay.
That's amazing. And so, have you talked to some of the folks who run these traditional SPCAs? Have you looked these people in the eye and said, "Hey, there's a better way to do this, and you don't have to be killing all these healthy animals"?
You know, and so everyone always says, "Why? Why is it that they?" I think sometimes people are more interested in being right than doing what's right. And, you know, I'll even take it back. When I first started, I will say there's a lot of our employees that didn't want to change. And actually, I think, tried to sabotage some things that would be different so we could save animals. And I think, again, it was about being right than doing what's right and saving lives. Now, our employees right now are fabulous, and everyone's on the same page, and everyone's working hard to save lives. You know, why they don't do it, I think they're afraid to admit maybe that they have some responsibility in it. It is so much easier to blame everyone else. Well, it's irresponsible owners and irresponsible people, and we're just doing what we have to do, and we have no choice in it. So much easier to do that than to take some responsibility and accountability and make the change and make things happen.
Would you like to see personally, you know, not speaking for the SPCA or the board or anybody, but would you personally like to see the state regulators come in and provide some type of impetus or encouragement, maybe a, you know, not necessarily a stick, but a carrot to these SPCAs to sort of get with the progressive program and do things differently and move away from the massive killing of healthy animals that could find homes, more towards what we do here?
Well, I think that'd be fabulous. I'd like, even before that, maybe to help us turn some of those regulations around that actually justify the killing and not make it so easy, or actually, I actually think the regulations make it harder not to kill. So, you know, forget about forcing them to help save us, just at least not making the regulations something that we have to get around to try to do a great job and save animals' lives.
We're talking with Suzanne Kogut of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA. We'll take a very quick break. The phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Your thoughts. You adopt an animal from the SPCA here. Your thoughts about how business is done, a no-kill facility here, about the job they're doing here in our community. 977-1070. Let's bring the listeners in. It's 72 degrees in Central Virginia at 11 minutes before the hour of 5 p.m. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. We're live. We're local. This is where Charlottesville comes to talk at 977-1070. We'll talk live with Fraser Nyman, the archaeologist at Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. He'll be here at 5:08. Suzanne Kogut is live in studio. She is the director of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA. We're talking about ways of doing business. How new is this whole thing? I mean, how new in the SPCA world is this idea that you're going to try to save these animals and not just kill them and, you know, move them out the door and euthanize healthy animals left and right? You're going to try to find homes for all of them.
Okay, the movement actually really started around 1978 in San Francisco, and then San Francisco retracted from that. So in around 2000, Tompkins County, New York was probably the first one to be saving all healthy, treatable, rehabilitatable animals, sort of the 90% of the population. I think Berkeley, California came in right after that around 2002, and we were in 2006. After us was Washoe County, Reno, Nevada. They came in a couple years later. So it's actually very new. People are starting to jump on board. But it's, you know, some of the, even the bigger organizations are slow to come along.
Like who? Like what do you mean?
Well, you know, and the HSUS does good stuff, but on this, they've been slow to come along. They've been fighting it. The Humane Society of the United States. You know, they are coming along now, but for a long time they were fighting it. And I think because people are offended by the no-kill term. So if you're not no-kill, we're calling you killers. Well, no one's doing that. And everyone's trying to defend shelter workers so much, they're so worried about people's feelings that even if people fail to do their job and do a good job at it, they're going to defend them anyways, which I don't think is really a worthwhile cause. Not while animals are dying.
Yeah. Did you know when you were coming into this job a few years ago that this is what you wanted to do, that you wanted to make this this facility here one of those few national models of a new way of doing an SPCA?
I did, actually, because I had spent some time doing some research, and I actually went up to Tompkins County and looked at what they were doing and looked at the different programs like the foster care, marketing, good customer service, not being judgmental to people that are coming in, making it a fun place to be. I looked at that and said, well, that I could do that. You know, I've got a good business sense. So I actually had another job offer, but Charlottesville was actually more challenging. They were euthanizing more animals and had more issues. So this was a challenge.
So what was it like before? How many animals in the Charlottesville area were being euthanized before you came in? Like what percentage?
Well, for dogs, they actually had always been doing very good in adopting out their dogs. And they were adopting out about 80% of the dogs. So euthanizing about 20%. Cats, euthanizing 53%, so actually killing more cats than saving. And I figured that was something we could change pretty quickly.
Yeah. So you had mentioned that you've talked to some of these other folks running the old-fashioned SPCAs, and you had you were saying during the break that you'd actually offered to take their animals off their hands and bring them to your no-kill facility.
Yeah, we have actually, and we've offered to not only that, but actually drive down, send vans, send employees, and take some of the dogs and save them. And we were questioned about our adoption policies and a bunch of other things. And you know, and honestly,
they just threw up roadblocks at left and right to prevent that.
Yeah, yeah. Now why you would want this is what I don't understand. Why you would want to, at that point, if you're killing 80, 90%, you're killing the animals. You're not euthanizing them, because I don't consider euthanasia to be the case when it's a happy, healthy, great little dog, and you're just killing it.
Because you don't have room for it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And in some cases, I mean, if we're going down to get them, that's not even the reason, right? I think sometimes people may need to control things so much that, but the only thing they're controlling is life or death, and they're killing them.
Yeah. I'm so fascinated by this topic because, and really truly from a business perspective, because we're talking about business culture and a different way of doing the same business. And you're asking people who are doing the business to change what they're doing. And I guess we're seeing nationally at the national level and also at the community level in certain places in America, you're seeing a lot of pushback because people just don't want to change. Even though the change means you're going to save lives. You're going to save these animals' lives. And I'm not being the, you know, crazy liberal here and saying, oh, we got to save the animals. To me, it makes business sense. It's just to change and adapt your business model.
And you would think so. I mean, most people, so from a business standpoint, you know, are your customers, your volunteers, people that are help you, are they going to come in if every time they come in, the animal that they saw yesterday is dead tomorrow? And it's not very welcoming, right? Do people want to support you in that case when all they're doing is throwing their money down the tube to help you euthanize animals? Not so. You know, do people want to come in and adopt? No, because they're too depressed knowing that the animal that they don't adopt is going to be dead. So yeah, it doesn't really make business sense because from a business standpoint, like anyone, you want people to come inside your business. You want people to enjoy being there. You want them to have a good experience. And yet when people come in to adopt, what do? They actually, not only will they not let us take the animals to adopt them out, but when people come into the adopt at their own facility, they're going to create all these barriers to adoptions. They're going to look at their application and figure out what's wrong with it instead of what's right with it. I mean, someone's walked into your facility. Let's give them, you know, I mean, they probably have good intent if they came to an SPCA to adopt an animal. Why are we trying to find something wrong with that potential adopt?
We're talking with Suzanne Kogut with the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA, one of the new national models for a different way of running an SPCA as a nonprofit business. You were telling me during the break as well that there's a best-selling author who's come to interview y'all. Because he's so interested in what we're doing here.
Right. His name is Ted Carasotti. He wrote a book called Merle's Door, A Tale of a Free-Thinking Dog. And he's writing another another book about his next dog, Pucca. And after that, he's writing a book on why dogs die young. And the reason he came to see us because, I mean, do you know what the number one reason that dogs die young is?
The number one reason that dogs die young.
Yeah, more, you know, earlier than they should.
Getting hit by a car, I would think.
Yeah, it's actually dying in an animal shelter, unfortunately. And
you're kidding. Yeah. It's being euthanized at an SPCA.
Right.
Not getting hit by cars or...
No.
That's amazing.
No. So, you know, so he came to our
That's
facility.
That's so sad, isn't it?
It's terribly sad. It's terribly sad that because we can actually do things differently and prevent it from happening. And you know, everyone always throws up the excuse as well, Charlottesville has more resources or... This they have this in there. Everyone always tries to figure out what that community that's successful at it has that they don't have so they can excuse it. Instead of just picking up the phone and trying to figure out what we're doing and what can apply to their community. You know, I'll give a big kudos to Orange County, Virginia. They have very limited resources. And for years, I think they're sort of the unsung hero in the no-kill movement. They have been saving 90% of the animals there with very limited resources. And it's because their director there, Beth Hamilton, just does a great job and makes sure they do it. And that, you know, they deserve a lot of credit.
So there are no excuses.
There aren't excuses.
It's a way you can do it successfully with a lot of resources or little resources. It's just a way of doing business that you can change. It can be done.
Right. And the more you do, the more people help. It's just like our foster program. When I first came in, we had maybe 300 animals go into foster care. And when I came in and said, let's put more into foster care, all of our employees at the time, of course, those aren't the employees that we have right now. Oh, no, we can't do that. It won't work. You know, continuing on how we can't do it. Well, the next year we had 992 animals go into foster care. And then the year after that, we had 1,600 go into foster care because the more foster parents we had, the more they told everyone what a great experience that was and the more people would want to come and help. And they enjoyed it and they shared the story. And the more you do, the more people help.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to either support the SPCA or become a foster caregivers to an animal?
They can come into the SPCA. They can go on our website at caspca.org or give us a call at 973-5959.
Suzanne Kogut, the director of the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.